I think the second we say this is know your rights, I think once we reach that point.
Or we'll just play this at the beginning, right before the intro music, is like a
Maybe.
weird outtake. Like right now, we'll take this.
Yeah.
This will be the beginning of the episode. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton.
As each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law.
And we know our rights. All right. Hello, everybody.
Hello, yes, hello. World. This hello. Is inaugural.
Inaugural.
Yeah.
In so this is no... Know Your Rights. That's the name of the podcast. Is that true?
Yes. I haven't seen anybody else with a podcast titled that, so we'll roll with it.
That was literally how we came up with this title. We had what was our other title we had before Know Your Rights?
Oh, Right On was a good title.
That's it. I think our actual name is Right On, but we'll say it's Know Your Rights.
Basically, if this podcast takes off, we'll change the name to Right On. Once Fuck we become them. Bigger than those than those fucking screenplay nerds.
Yeah. All right. So hello, Rob. My name is Colton. For those of you who don't know who I am, I don't know if our voices are going to sound similar or not. I don't think so.
Well, people have said with our singing voices, apparently we sound similar, but I would imagine our speaking voices are much different.
Well, I will tell you, my name is Colton, and I will say, Rob, you're one of
That's
my best, oldest friends of all time.
He means that we've known each other a long time.
That's basically it.
Yeah, not that I'm old. We're about the same age. And yes, Colton, you are one of my best friends, period.
Yeah. What the one? Yeah. Yeah, you're one of my best friends. We have many best friends.
Oddly enough, though, this is probably the first time you've seen my face in 4 years.
This podcast is basically an excuse for us to be able to talk to each other and feel obligated to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Which,
and we both have had kind of a desire to start a podcast.
I think so. And maybe that's we have a number of great agenda items to hit, mm-hmm. although it doesn't sound as fun when I say agenda items. But I wanted mm-hmm. to ask you real quick
mm-hmm.
for the layman, the people who haven't heard either of our music. That don't know us.
Yeah.
What is it about us? What is the gall that we have to be able to start a songwriting podcast to look at other people's songwriting?
I figured we're used to failure within our own songwriting. So why not start a podcast that we fail at judging other people's songwriting?
Yeah, I like that. And I also think I'm sick of the formula that people get famous, successful in their chosen art form and then start a podcast. That's not fun.
That's not fair.
We're flipping the formula.
That's right.
We are.
I'm still intrigued to see who will actually listen to this. I mean, I figure we're both going to share it on social media.
Yeah.
And
in fact, if you're listening to this, odds are you're either related to us or.
No need for an introduction.
Or you are actually trying to find the Know Your Rights podcast that's a legal podcast for people who are looking to know their rights.
Yeah. If you're you might be in a little bit of trouble with the law.
In which case we cannot help you. Well, no.
I can make fun of you for having legal issues. I break the law all the damn time.
Oh man. Already this is great. This is a great start.
Hopefully.
This is great.
We're gonna learn as we go along.
I don't know why I keep being goofy and then I want to get serious, but I do want to say that you are one of my, if not my favorite songwriters. And I feel like we could say we both admire each other's stuff that we've done in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said it before. You're one of the best lyricists I've ever heard.
That's not, I mean,
there's a lot of good lyricists. Don't worry. You're not necessarily topping the list.
Top 30. I don't know. That's a random number. I don't know what that is.
But if I got a top 1,000 lyricists, you're in the right in the middle.
Pretty, yeah.
Right 90, around 500.
999. That's not bad. I will say, but we both love songwriting. And that's for me, when I think about why I wanted to start this with you, I just I love it. I love songs. I love listening to songs. I love listening to all kinds of songs. Like one of my favorite things, I know Chris Rock was talking about, I don't remember what this was.
No Sex in the Champagne Room? Is this that's where we're going? Right?
That's the song, that's the album we're doing today. It's No Sex in the Champagne Room.
Yeah.
I forgot that song existed. That was good.
I just remember it because I had my tongue was pierced in the high school days, and that song came up a lot of times.
I remember that. I love Pisces, you're gonna die. Aquarius, you're gonna die. Gemini, you're gonna die twice. But he said, he was talking about comedy, and he was like, I love jokes. He's like, I just love the way jokes are constructed. I love going to comedy clubs and just listening to jokes. And I was like, that's how I feel about songwriting. Like, I love how people think about songs and how they write them, and thinking about that. It's just really fun.
Yeah, and I feel I have a little bit more of it. And it's because, yes, we're both songwriters, but when I listen to somebody else, I try not to even judge it from that. I just want to get captivated initially. I'm not even trying to think, you know, about how they go about their process. So many artists, I don't really know how the artist that I won't give it away, but once we get into the artist, I don't know all their names. I don't really know who plays what on these particular tunes. You know, it's for the most part, I just want a song to move me. And
yeah. And there's something beautiful about the fact that everyone who wants to write a song, doesn't matter what your level of musicianship is or lyricism, whatever, it's a blank canvas, right? Mm-hmm. That you're approaching. And I love the fact that two people can approach that. And even like you and me, like we have such different ways of thinking about things. And that to me is really beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm intrigued to see how we break down music, because I think you may be more, it seems like you've always been a little more lyrically focused.
I'm the better guitar player, is the thing.
Absolutely. And I'm just here. Yeah, I just try.
You're the looks. You're the looks.
I'm the looks. That's right.
All right. Well, now that I think that we've nicely kind of acquitted ourselves for why we feel like we should have our own podcast, I want to ask you, Rob, what have you been listening to recently?
Oh, I'm glad you said recently, because I think we originally talked about it over the last week. And over the last week, it's been one fucking band.
The band and, we've been talking about all the time.
Yeah. But recently, I would say Black on Both Sides, Mos Def.
Mm.
I love that fucking album. Mathematics, I think, is my favorite rap song now.
Oh, my God.
Or hip-hop song, yeah.
I haven't listened to Mos Def in a really long time.
You know, well, and I hadn't listened to, I mean, I had listened to Black Star, you know, but
Black Star's good.
Yeah, but I hadn't decided to listen to a full album, and that full album is incredible. It started off a little slow for me, but as it moved into it, like, yeah, Mos Def is a brilliant hip hop artist. You want to know how to rhyme, you better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty Mos Def. It's simple mathematics. Check it out. There you go, guys. Get the Mos Def record. Does he have anything new? I don't think, has he come up?
I don't think so. No, he has at least a small amount on Spotify.
Mm.
But yeah, that and Sonic Youth is like the end of last year into this year. Just Sonic Youth for some reason clicked with me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I love it because the vocals are just pedestrian as hell. But the music is so much more thoughtful and a little more intricate than what I expected.
Yeah. I know we were talking about it before, but when I heard Sonic Youth for the first, it was one of those bands that I knew existed mm-hmm. for a long time. And that's how I discover music, is there's bands that I just know are there,
yeah,
but I just never listened to them for whatever reason. And then one day, I think in college, I listened to, what is it? Is it Daydream Nation?
Daydream Nation.
I listened to that record and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what's fun, that's the third one I listened to. I listened to Evol, and that's where I fell in love. It's Evol. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's just, I think it's spelled EVOL.
Yeah. For the record, people that listen to this podcast, this is not the first time. We're going to say everything wrong. Everything.
For sure. I mean, I'm going to stammer through most of my statements and try to dive into the limited vocabulary I have to express my feelings towards anything. But But no, I listened to that and Goo is the one that just pulled me in. And then I was told by a few people, you got to listen to Daydream Nation. And I listened to that one. Good album. Not as good as the previous two to me. But I mean, yeah, what's the song, the opening song, Teenage Riot? That's kind of the quintessential Sonic Youth.
That the thing where like the feedback is another instrument and that just like rag. It's like all my favorite rock records I could think of. It's like Cursive, Domestika.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sonic, it's all the same. It's like that same kind of just like raw, ragged, just sounds super chunky. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. There's an honesty behind it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not overproduced. It's just, they went for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate it. So,
and for, I think both of us coming from recording situations where we work off of zero budget all the time, it feels attainable.
Yeah, yeah. If we were in a different era.
A different era.
That would... It would have served us much better to have been born maybe a little earlier, but I guess at least now we're not old.
That's right. I always wonder that. I wonder if... Was there a generation where I could have like been performing and I would have caught on more? I actually think no, because I feel like you had to have way more energy...
Yeah.
To do things like in the pre-internet days. And I think I was just lazy enough to not make it in like anything pre-internet. And I'm also too lazy to do anything significant in the internet age. Like I don't like to.
I feel the internet age requires more. I feel like back then you just tour, go at it, you know, and you leave it up to magazines or you leave it up to other people to kind of criticize. And with the internet age, I feel you have to do so much more when you're at home and finally getting to rest. That's when you have to get into social media. You have to get into... Promoting music has always been our downfall. Maybe we would have had more credibility if we had an at-home work ethic.
We'll keep track of our many downfalls for why we failed to get audiences.
I got a list. It's right behind my computer right here. I can see it. And I'm just...
Number one is people just don't get it. Yeah. They just don't get it, man.
No. Number two is I don't get it.
Well, I want to tell you what I've been listening to. And it's weird because I could be honest, like the literal last music I heard before I came up here is my wife was watching the Gilmore Girls. And I was also watching the Gilmore Girls.
I'm actually more familiar than I should be.
Yeah. And what is it? The Indigo Girls, right? They sing the opening track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know two Indigo Girls songs, and I actually want to listen to more because the two I heard I like. There's that, and there's I Am Woman, Hear Me War, Numbers Too Loud to Ignore. That's a song.
No singing on the podcast.
But the other artist I've been listening to like over and over again this week is a saxophonist, composer, and band leader named Jasmine Mira. She is on a record label called Gondwana Records. It's one of those things where YouTube found me. The algorithm of YouTube is like, hey, here's this random record label from the UK. And it's mainly, I want to call it a jazz label.
Okay.
Because I think on the whole, a lot of them are jazz composers, but there's also like kind of weird, cool instrumental music. They're like Brian Eno-esque, I think. But
I'll have to check out both those artists.
Horizons is the record by Jasmine Mira, and it is fire. I listen to it all. When I'm cooking in the morning, like if I'm making waffles,
Is it instrumental or is it?
It's instrumental.
All instrumental.
Okay. All instrumental, and that's like it's weird for me to be starting a podcast with you on songwriting. Like I would say 70% of what I listen to right now is instrumental.
Oh, that's fine. I consider it a more important factor than really lyrics to me.
I remember you didn't play that show, but we opened for a band. This is by everyone, by the way, like when I was playing, it was Colton Saylor. I had various iterations. It was Colton Saylor and the She Sells Seashells. And if any one of the band members were missing, it was Colton Saylor and the Fuck Colton Saylors was the name of the band.
I loved it when people were missing the show.
That was the good one. Yeah. And we opened for a band called This Will Destroy You at UC Santa Barbara. And they were like a very much like an Explosions in the Sky-esque band. I think that's the one you missed.
Maybe. Missed the show. Okay, I thought you meant the artist. No, I'm familiar with.
But I
couldn't really listen to him too often because it was just music, and a lot of it sounded like it should have. Okay, now I'm diving into a band you're not even talking about, really.
It's okay.
Sorry.
But I just remember there was like a record or an article about the show after, and they were interviewing This Will Destroy You. And they were like, we don't like to put words in our music because words are just little boxes that you put emotions into. And I don't know why I'm already calling out a band. And they're good. I like This Will Destroy You. And they were nice to us, which anytime a band is nice to me, I always... That's a nice thing because
they're a good band all of a sudden.
I like them way more, but I always remember that quote. I was like, oh,
yeah. Well, you know, the artists we're about to talk about, words are just emotions put into a little box.
Oh, I can't wait. You know what? Yeah. Let's go ahead, Skip. So we know then Mos Def, Jasmine Mira. Maybe Jasmine Mira slightly more than Mos Def, but I think go listen to those records. They're good.
Absolutely.
They're good. Yeah. We have to talk about the band that we have chosen for our pilot episode.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it? Should we say it at once?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Wiser. Nah, God.
Definitely not. to preface all of this, I actually have a lot of admiration for Weezer. They go down some different paths. But I don't want any, we're probably going to say some very judgmental things, but overall, you know, they were successful. You know, they have made songs that I listen to on the regular.
It did. I think when we talked about this show, and we want to do something like this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's based on the fact that you and I would talk for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like well into the night, just about music and baseball.
And baseball, yeah, sports in general.
And things. And this is one of the bands that we would talk about all the time. And it is Weezer, by the way, if you're...
It is Weezer. We are diving into Weezer. Weezer is the... I don't know if we're doing this weekly or bi-weekly, but for this episode, we're going Weezer. And they're a perfect choice because of the duality between great and fucking dog shit.
It's awful.
Awful stuff.
And it's crazy. I think when I'm the one who was like, oh yeah, we should do Weezer, because they are, like you said, a perfect example of like how you can get kind of into the art of songwriting and start to evaluate like what works and what doesn't. And yet at the same time, for that very reason, they are so frustrating. And I thought, oh, this was a mistake, because at different points, after listening to Weezer, I was like, I don't even think I know what songwriting is anymore.
It's almost if Weezer were, you know, a religion, you're going to question your religion so many times, you know,
all the time, from line to line, word to word. They are, I think this is the Colton Saylor theory of music that I have no ownership over. I just like to say it, that it's that. And I know I've mentioned it to you, Rob. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that at some point in my life, I stopped becoming a fan of bands.
Uh-huh.
And I was a fan of records. And Weezer is the reason why I feel that way.
I can see it. And, you know, over the last, since we've been discussing it, I don't know if we'll be able to do as much research as I have over the last month. But it's exhausting trying to listen to all their stuff and actually form an opinion over all their... I listened to Hurley for the first time, beginning to end, the other day, and I had to force myself through it.
Yeah.
There were certain moments I want to skip the song, but I got to see if they elaborate a little bit further on this track or this track. And I'll forget plenty of songs, or at least which album they're associated with.
Mm. And I do think that there is a point in their discography where, as I was, like you said, I was also listening to prepare for this show to get ready. And at some point, I kind of tapped. I tapped out.
I got up to, I think I listened to the first song off of the Black album.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it was fun. It was fun. That's something I've always gotten from Weezer, is it does seem like they're all smiling in the studio. Maybe not all of them. There's probably a couple members who are just kind of, This will make me a nice paycheck. Hopefully.
I think the worry here is that I'm gonna be the aggressor in talking about this band. I think I want to say from the jump, and this isn't even like controversial. Like, to defend Weezer, I feel like is kind of silly, because they're Weezer. What is it you can attack this band that's been, I think they're successful. I don't know. We're really not going to dive into album sales, I think, correct?
Don't think we need to. They seem destined for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to me.
Yeah. Just,
I can't imagine them not making it. They had a very successful career. But yeah.
And so I think we agree then. They're fucking Weezer. And they've written songs. When we talk about the songs that they wrote that are just fantastic, like songs that I like, oh, that you just kind of look at in awe and you're like, God, how'd that happen? It's just perfect. Right. I think the song that I think both of us would agree is the best song, I'm being coy here, we're building it up, people, this is tension. It's just fucking so good. And like, I mean, every time I listen to it, it gets better.
I think it's okay to just put it out there. I feel most Weezer fans, it may not be their favorite song by Weezer, but the best song by Weezer is, can I say it?
Go ahead and say it.
Say It Ain't So.
There's no, I mean, what are you supposed to say other than Say It Ain't So?
Yeah, anything else will be opinion based, but there's just, that's like one of the few facts about the band. Say It Ain't So, that's the best song. Yeah.
It's so good. And I was thinking about it because I think we both agreed in that early on. There wasn't like something was going to be a surprise. And when I listen to it, I always try to think, what is it about that song? And again, this is what drives me crazy about Weezer, is when I think of what makes a good Weezer song, like, just think about it, Rob. What makes a good Weezer song?
Not Rebecca Black lyrics. For those who may not know who Rebecca Black is, she's apparently a co-writer with Rivers Cuomo for a lot of his songs, but she also wrote Friday.
Did she write Friday?
I would imagine so. That doesn't sound, maybe not the music, but lyrically, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think she has other writers with her to write, you know, should I take the front seat? Should I take the back seat?
But here's my thing is, when I listen to a Weezer song, I realize, and I look at the lyrics, right? Like, and I think you know this about me. I don't like to write down things when I write songs.
I
know a few people who are like that, right? Where you don't write it down as you're going. To me, it's always kind of been stored in my memory, which is an issue because I also like to forget things all the time. But
you like to?
I love it. Obviously, because I do it all the time.
I would love to forget some things. My friend Sam, Colton Saylor, and the Seashell Seashells.
They're gone. They're gone from my memory. And it's the best part about it. But every time I look at, like, Say It Ain't So is a great example. Those words on the page are not impressive. And it's not that every song has to be, like, you know, hyper articulate, whatever. That's not what's good. So good songwriting is. We both agree with that. Right.
I don't know how you can listen to Weezer and what song has great lyrics.
That's the thing. And yet, when I listen to Say It Ain't So, I think that is a perfect song. The perfect level of, like, songwriting, the diction, right? He's not going overly complex with anything. It's like these big, bulky words that get these really deep emotions. And it's also, and this is something that in the worst of Weezer songs, which is they almost require that you know the backstory behind what inspired it. Like I'm not, like, Where's My Sex? That song infuriates me. And the story behind it infuriates me. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry. Yeah,
because that one's off of, which album is that one off of? Because is it
Hurley?
I think it might be Hurley. I don't know. Wait.
There's fans of Weezer who are yelling at us right now. Yes, it's Hurley.
Hey, I'm sorry. They have a shitload of albums. It's and they're not all memorable albums.
No, they're not. But I don't mean to talk about a song I dislike when I'm trying to talk about a song I like. But
It's a good contrast.
What I'm trying to say is, there is the story, right? Buy and say it ain't so. Like seeing, what is it, the alcohol in the fridge, worrying that it's his stepfather, just like his dad.
Yeah, they're going to go. The new relationship his mom and stepfather will have will go down the same route that his biological parents' relationship went down. Yeah.
But the song tells the story. That's the thing I love about it. And it doesn't tell it in an overly instructive way. It's not hyper literal.
No, it's vague enough. Nobody needs to know. Like, to me, with that song, you don't need to know the background behind it. But for the longest time, the bridge, I thought, was really random. It was just a really random branch off from the rest of the song. I didn't know we were talking about, you know, daddy issues.
Yeah. And it's such a, in that album too, it's such a unique, because I wouldn't say that a lot of the songs in that album are emotionally visceral. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
And that one is raw. It's like the Pinkerton song before Pinkerton, and it would be the best song on Pinkerton.
Oh yeah. And honestly, from my understanding of how he wrote it, he just had, you know, dun, 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 say it ain't so, like, he just, that's all he had. And then he just tried to put together verses around it. And that's why the chorus is kind of related to the story, but it's not. You know, it's just a really good hook.
And I guess when I'm trying to think of an equation for why I would like a Weezer song, right? Like the perfect Weezer song. It's one where, like, yeah, the verses can be like oversimplistic maybe, or that, although I would say it ain't so, that's really not the case, but they pay off with the chorus. And the best Weezer song to me is the one where the verses, they tie into the chorus and they make the chorus better, rather than the chorus making the verses better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's that chunky, like
you said. The music's great. Yeah, the music just hits. You can't really deny that hook.
And there's one songwriting thing I was thinking about this morning, because we're frying up. I don't know why I keep wanting to tell people what food I'm eating.
You love talking about the food.
But I was making, we had such a good brunch this morning. We made hash browns. We made, what was it, ham? I fried ham. My wife made gluten-free, sugar-free cornbread. Guys, super good. But I was singing. Sorry.
Well, I have to ask really quickly. When you say brunch, did you have breakfast?
It was brunch.
Did you have breakfast?
Oh, like before brunch?
Yeah. I think the only way that it can be brunch is if you've had a breakfast.
That's not true. I have brunch instead of breakfast.
I'll call that breakfast then. Is breakfast a certain time of the day and brunch is a certain time of the day?
It's okay. I've actually had this thought too, and it gets me real existential. Like, I'm like, who am I? Because mostly what I eat is breakfast food. That is true.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But I think it's the fact that the reason I think I call it brunch is we ate at what, 12:30? That's brunch.
Yeah, but I mean, say you're like me and it's a Saturday and you wake up at 11 and you eat at 12, that's breakfast.
Listeners, please write us what you consider to be brunch or breakfast.
Yeah, speaking of, go on to our non-existent social media. We do have an email.
We have an email. What is our email, Rob? Can you tell us?
I think I sent you the text. That's the only way I could figure it
out. Great. We'll get it by the end of the episode. All questions and complaints. Yeah.
We'll get there.
I want to say one thing about that song, and we can move on. Because I think we've said a lot, but there's one thing about that song.
Or nothing.
I think about, or nothing. Yeah. That I always just am like, oh, that's great. And it's one of the times where when I listen to Rivers Cuomo, I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. You could sense there's something interesting about it when it's the, what is it? The, this bottle of Stevens awakens ancient. When you're writing that song, Rob, what comes after ancient? With this bottle of Stevens awakens ancient what?
Feelings.
See, but it feels like it should be demons. The rhyme matches with Stevens.
I can see what you mean. It kind of took you a. It's the opposite of what Weezer inevitably does, where you know the rest of the lyric.
Yeah.
Through most of it. Right when you hear the first rhyme, and just he could start the next one. He's like, I know what you're rhyming it with.
Yeah. But it's so smart.
Say, girl, you're saying world.
Because like the thing about songwriting that's different, I think, than a lot of other kinds of writing, that like the people we know, including you, Rob, I know you, that I just think are like write songs that I just like can't stop thinking about. It's those little things where feelings is, it's like, it does the same thing as Demons, right? But the sound of it is different. And the J, that E, instead of the hard end.
Goofy, but as long as you can hear me, we're good. You just got a box in front of your face.
Oh my God.
Quite nice.
but
yeah, there is the unexpected element to lyrics that, well, and music, really just the instrumentation, but it's nice when you kind of get taken on something that it does resolve perfectly, but not obviously.
It's the magic trick, right? I think the other guy who does that a lot that you and I both really love is Connor Oberst.
That's exactly who I was going to say. He just takes me down. I wouldn't have been able to write that next lyric.
And yet it feels so natural. It's a conversation, right? Well, this is now a Bright Eyes episode. That's all we're going
to
talk about.
I feel confident we'll get to that.
So let me ask you, I think because we both agree our best song is Say It Ain't So. What is the worst Weezer song, Rob?
All right.
this is what the people want.
Yeah, there were honorable mentions. I feel like I may have messed up by not writing some of those honorable mentions, but I heard this song actually for the first time this last week.
What is it?
British Are Coming is one of the most unnecessary songs I've ever fucking heard. I don't know if he was at Harvard, if he had a paper on the American Revolution. But that song, it sounds like it should be a Christmas song. And the falsetto notes hidden in it are just... I've only listened to it like two times. I can't elaborate much further on it because I didn't need to listen to it many times.
Welcome to the first level literati.
Oh, yes. Yep, that's the opener to it. And lyrically, he could be very accurate about the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And it felt fairly accurate, but it felt fairly fucking pointless.
And it's kind of a perfect encapsulation of like late Weezer to me, which is there's like no level of metaphor working anymore.
No. That, you're trying to figure out why the hell he's writing this song, and especially on an album that's supposed to be, you know, we're back to being Weezer. Because that's on...
Everything Will Be All Right in the End.
Yeah, Everything Will Be All Right in the End. And
it's... Yeah,
Everything was not all right in the end.
Everything was... And everything was terrible.
Yeah.
I'll share my worst songs for Weezer. And I think this one is a surprise. I think I told you this. It's Beverly Hills off of Make Believe, which is also, I think, their most successful song.
I think it did. I think when it came to Billboard and all that, I don't understand either. But at the very least, the lyrics have something to them.
They have nothing to them. They have nothing. How dare you?
There's nothing great about them, but there's at least a message within it.
What is the message?
That, you know, people want to be celebrities.
I'm just
a regular Joe who wants to be a celebrity.
Do you know who did that song and did it better than Weezer?
Nickelback?
Good Charlotte. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I stand by that.
That is a better song.
That is a better song. It's more fun to listen to. It's and the solo, I never thought, because we're going to talk about best albums, right? And when I think of Weezer, to me, Weezer's a guitar band.
Like, absolutely, yeah.
And I
do think they get a bad rep for trying to go beyond their, I guess, based off of most fans, their accepted sound. You know, I think they get a bad rep for trying to branch out and go a little bit beyond, but they usually don't do it that well.
I mean, that's the problem, right? they don't do it in a way you're like, oh, they're trying something. Like they do it in the most obvious, like I'm trying not to be mean because I don't want to be. I don't mean it's
we're
stupid.
Not necessarily they do it in critics.
Stupidest way possible. That solo is so bad, and that effect, it's so flimsy, and like that, to me the message is it's so insincere because that record to me is insincere, which is funny because the whole story right behind Make Believe is that it's Weezer kind or Rivers Cuomo specifically, right? All the shit he did to his band, his loved one in the 90s, he's moving on, he's got enlightenment, and that song's so phony because he hasn't been that guy. And it's like they're speaking to their fans, I guess, right? That we all want to be like Beverly Hills. Yeah. It's just so, it's the most obvious criticism, and it's done so poorly.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that there's so many different examples of him kind of going down that route that he went on Beverly Hills. But I don't expect that much from Rivers Cuomo. I don't expect that much from him. I think he is actually trying to be sincere, but I think he gets stuck in a soulless studio vibe, and it gets stuck in being in the studio and having to record this. And he ends off phoning it in. I think it's almost a testament to his skill level that it's like, you can just go in and just poop this out. And apparently somebody's going to eat your shit.
And that's the line of the episode, Rob. That
Rivers,
was great.
You can have that one for your next song.
That's going to be a new Weezer out. You just did it. You screwed it up.
That's how easy it is.
And I think it's what a lot of like these really, oh my God, words escape me. Prolific. That's the word. These prolific songwriters where, and the other people I think of too, where it's just nothing, it's putting out record after record after record. And at some point the idea is they're just so good that they just put out tons of stuff and you're supposed to just admire the body of work. And there's an offender here I'm thinking of, and his name rhymes with Brian Adams. It's Ryan Adams. I don't know.
I thought it was Brian Adams. Damn.
I love Brian Adams. I don't want to get into this. We'll do him at some point. I love Brian Adams. Ryan Adams, I don't love. I'm sorry, Robbie Coleman.
Oh, Jesus. We just lost a listener.
But the idea is to put out listening. So much stuff, and like your genius can't be contained with all this stuff. And yet, Weezer is a great example of like just no editing. Like a song like Beverly Hills. Again, I keep going back to it, but it's just like you.
I think it's
nothing that's being said.
You don't need to put it out there. You don't need to put it. One of the worst things that Weezer did to their reputation for me personally, because I could accept, okay, you wrote these songs, you wanted to make this album. When they put out Africa, why? Why? I don't know why you had to do it. I can understand you wanted to go into the studio. And just you wanted to record that song. You wanted to play all the instruments. You wanted to do all the harmonies exactly the same as Africa. But why do I have to listen to it? Why does that have to come my direction? You could have just, hey, check this out, sweetie. You know, show it to your wife. Show it to your kids.
Well, this.
It doesn't need to happen. I can understand on stage performing Africa with Weird Al. Fine. That's a goofy Weezer performance, but I don't need the recording. And didn't they also do, didn't they do other Toto songs?
I don't know. I know they did. I think the Teal album is nothing but covers.
Never listened to it.
I didn't listen to it either.
I did. I have not opened that. That was one that I just knew I could skip past.
I don't like covers.
Honestly, I've listened to everything all the way up to, what is it? Okay, Human. But I listened to that, I think, one time through. I never listened. Well, I guess I can't say up till then, but that might be the last. Yeah, that's the last full album I've listened to by Weezer. So I skipped Van Weezer and the Seasons.
You know, that reminds me, I want to give an honorable mention when it comes to worst song, and it's from OK Human, and it's actually called, what is it called? Oh, Grapes of Wrath. Of OK Human. That song also is bad. But I actually
I didn't hate that one. I actually didn't hate that one. I didn't hate that one. To be in the category of worst song, I don't necessarily place that there.
It's Beverly Hills, but I get it.
Well, I told you, I like a song that I think would fit into your worst songs written, and it's off of Make Believe.
What is it? Your underrated song?
No, it's not my underrated song.
Well, tell me what it is, and then we'll get to underrated song.
I think This Is Such a Pity is not a terrible song.
It's disagree.
It's one of those where they branch off from the Weezer formula, and I thought they did it okay. I think it may be how much it was hated by everyone that when I listen to it, I go, this is not as villainous as they're making it out.
What is it? The 80s synth?
Yeah, it's kind of the 80s synth vibe. And I also like Perfect Situation. I think that was a good song.
That is, you know, okay. Well, actually, I don't know if that's underrated. Perfect Situation is very good. Yeah. I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Underrated song. What
Here
is
we go.
Your pick for underrated
song? I keep getting to start these ones.
Should I start?
Yeah, you know what? You start an underrated song.
I wasn't sure with this one. I guess there's a lot. There is a lot.
Yeah.
And I think my first my instinct was Falling for You off of Pinkerton.
Okay. That's a little cheap because that's a great album.
I know, but that's not really a song that I know of that, like, when people think of that record, I don't think that's the first song you think of.
Yeah.
And every time I listen to it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the best song off of Pinkerton. Like, it is
the best song off of Pinkerton.
Yeah, I love it. I love, and you know what? I love that solo, that whole like bridge, like solo break is so great. And it's so great too, because it's a reason for me why Pinkerton is such a great album, is that it's so aware of itself as an album. And that solo is so aware of the fact that, like, this is the last full band track on the record. And that solo is so climactic, and it goes so many different places. And like the key changes, everything about it is just, it's so interesting. And when I think of a Weezer song, that's not the first word I think of is interesting. Like, and that sounds bad, but I guess I mean, it doesn't challenge me. And that song challenges me because, like, even like the vocals are low in the mix. Like, everything about it is so ratty.
I think that plays a role into a good Weezer song in general, is it can't sound really well produced.
It
has to have some sort of roughness to it because he's not that phenomenal a songwriter. You know, I want the honesty. I want the, and once they get in there and they got, God, the amount of guys who have produced him that have a lot of credibility in the music industry, that they had to have taken some hits, like some knocks from some of their peers, their contemporaries.
I don't know. But anywho, I think I'm happy with that choice, Falling for You. Listen to that song again, listener, and just rejoice. Yeah.
I actually kind of played it a little bit in the background because I love Pinkerton, but I just have to kind of refresh my memory on it.
Refresh. Yeah. Tell me, what is your underrated song for Weezer, Robert?
Well, there are some honorable mentions. Like Dope Nose is one that I think gets a little ignored. That's a really cool one. But this one is going to be really controversial. This will get a lot of people upset with me, but it's King. I love the song King so damn much. And it might be because River's he's on the bridge. You know, I actually because I should probably save it. But yeah, there's something about the song. There's nothing special about the lyrics. The lyrics actually have the Rebecca Black vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about the, like, swirling sounds in it and just, like, the kind of straightforward. I like the acoustic arrangement. That's just one that I don't even know if I can put into words why it just sticks. I love the vibe of the song. It's so simple. It's unassuming. It's just kind of a song that came to be.
That's Scott Schreiner, right? The bass player on the lead vocals.
Yeah. And I think he's a good singer.
I remember, you know, I respect that because I don't like the Red album.
I know you don't.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But I remember, I mean, this is, what's weird is Weezer is a band that, like, you and I, we've been friends now for, what year did we meet? 2004?
That sounds right. I think you were in senior year.
I think I was a junior.
Well, if you were, so yeah, so 2003, 2004.
Okay. And I mean, you know.
This might be our 20th anniversary.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Sweetie.
I like that. But
it is kind of nice.
But it's the thing. Weezer has kind of grown alongside us in a lot of ways. I mean, they were a band before us anyway. Sure. But it's just, I remember when that album came out and you talking about King. And you're like, and I was like, ah, I think I said the same thing. I was like, that's bullshit. I hate that record. And you're like, but there's something so beautiful about the fact that he's like never gets his moment, and that's his moment.
Yeah, he can't. I like the fact that it was nice seeing Rivers on that album kind of pass along some songs where it's just, you know, I want to just be part of the band. I don't want to be the front man. Mm-hmm. And I think there might be some honesty in that, to where he may have just been like, I'm kind of done being the front man.
You do it.
Yeah, you guys fucking do it. I'm tired of this shit. And honestly, some of the other songs that the rest of the band does, what's the name of the song on the Red album? But I think Automatic, while it's a very pedestrian song, it sounds kind of like a cool 90s song, and I'm pretty sure it's a Patrick Wilson singing.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's not a great song. It's nothing fantastic, but it sounds, maybe at that point in time, I was ready for something that didn't sound like Weezer.
Mm-hmm.
Released by Weezer.
And here again, like every time we talk about a new record, I catch myself because I feel like I'm going to end up going back to something I just said, because Red album should have worked. Right. Uh-huh. It's them saying we're going to experiment. That's, am I wrong to say that's the experimental Weezer? Like, does that feel right? I don't know.
It seemed to me more like they were trying to get back to, at least to me, it seemed like it was trying to get back to their sound. Because like Pork and Beans, I like that song. I know plenty of Weezer fans don't like that song.
Mm.
But that song sounds like Weezer to me. I think a lot of people think the lyrics are dog shit, but I'm like, that sounds like Weezer to me.
I agree in this way, that when I think of the first two records of Weezer, that I love a lot. I think that's like my favorite records, Blue Album, Pinkerton. I am a fastball down the middle.
Well, once we get to that category, this is going to be a really, it's a coin flip, apparently.
But it's, how do I say this? There's a looseness to those records, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, and it's, they're cool in those records. Like that word, it's hard to use. But they're cool.
That's like that is how I would describe Automatic.
Yeah, I mean there are videos too. Like I was looking back to like the Saying It So video and what is it, Good Life? I think El Scorcho. I was watching the video for that, and I mean, I love Matt Sharp. I love like his little bad falsetto thing he used to do with Brazil all the time. I said, God, they actually seem cool. And that's not a word I would use with them a lot of the time.
Yeah, I wonder because I don't know for sure if Matt Sharp played a much larger role in the earlier days.
I think there's some legal things around that. I don't know. Again, Weezer fans are like, he didn't, or he did. I apologize.
That's the thing is, I'm not a completist, especially when it comes to Weezer. I'm not a completist. I listen to the music and I appreciate the music. I did read, you know, their Wikipedia page to try to get a little bit further understanding of their history, but it didn't stick because I listen to the music. Yeah. I'm going to just take in the music.
And I think that's when I listen to those records and feel how like loose and just like unaffected they are. I get how Red album in that way, like the music is meant to feel that way. They're meant to feel like, yeah, we're back to just doing whatever we want to do, but it's not the same. It's,
you know, but the first song is a stupid song and I like it. It is a stupid song. Troublemaker is a stupid song. I like it. I'm willing to admit I'm stupid. I'm completely content with that disposition.
I do say, because I don't really like that song very much, but the line, what's arts and crafts? Well, here's some arts and crafts. They just pulls out that. That's badass.
I dig it. And I think so that, cool. I do think that's his mentality behind when he releases something. He's just like, dude, just fuck it. I don't want to overanalyze this. I just want to let's release it. Now, well, granted, it gave us Africa, and I can't say that's my least favorite Weezer song because it's not a fucking Weezer song. They didn't even they didn't even turn it into a Weezer song.
Is next episode Toto? I don't want to do Toto.
I like three songs by Toto. because I've heard three songs by them, and
I'm impressed that
I have
you know,
no desire to listen to anything else. I guarantee you've heard those three.
I don't think I have.
Skip.
I'm gonna keep us on the
yeah, skip.
I am curious, but I'm gonna ask you this.
Hit the next instead. Button.
Overrated. What is the most overrated song in the Weezer catalog? It's your choice.
I'm going to piss off a lot of people with this.
What is it?
Only in Dreams.
I remember this. Tell me why it's Only in Dreams and why are you wrong?
It's not that exciting a song. It's just something where I'm like, I think the bass line. First of all, let me rephrase. Let me preface, nice disclaimer. I love that song. But on that album, it's monotonous to me. I don't feel like there's much to it. I mean, maybe lyrically it's good, or lyrically it's better.
Yeah, you always have to catch yourself. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's anything fantastic. It's just, it's difficult because I think there are other songs you could say Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. Depending on who the listener is. But when I think of songs that are generally considered by Weezer fans to be great songs, anytime I talk to Blue Album, seems like Only in Dreams comes up. If I'm talking to random fans, they always bring up Only in Dreams. I just think on that plate of beautiful food, I'm ripping off somebody who said this exact same quote, but it's just on that plate of beautiful food, that's broccoli. Broccoli can be good and everything. It's just, that's not the best song on the album. That's why I have to kind of go with that one, because it feels like it gets too much love.
I could see it. Yeah. And I do agree with you in this, which is, it doesn't work on its own. It works at the end of the album.
Yeah.
Because that album is pretty sonically heavy, right?
For sure. And it's not so much that they bring it down. I'm not trying to insult them in any way with that, because you need your highs and your lows to make a really great album. It just, if I was to show somebody who had never listened to Weezer, I'm not going to show them Only in Dreams to try to reel them in.
Yeah.
Once you get to the end of the album, you'll really like that song.
And I think that's why I'm torn on it, because when you say that, I'm like, oh, I love Only in Dreams. But I think it's because listening to the Blue Album is such a nostalgic, it just makes me feel good to listen to that record. Right.
Yeah.
And when I listen to Only in Dreams, it's the close.
It's the end of the album. And
it's like Goodbye Sky Harbor. Right. If you're listening to this record or this podcast, you're going to realize
we will get into them, and there will be less criticism.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't wait. Anywho, but it's same thing, right? Goodbye Sky Harbor. Yeah. Who has 20 minutes to listen to that record or that song?
Song in general. But, and that's the thing is, when somebody tells me they love Only in Dreams, I'm like, is that your last memory of that album? Because that was the last song you heard.
But I want to ask you this. I think everyone who's listening to this, who's been in a band, which, what a beautiful thing to be in a band. Everyone should be in a band at least once. It's such a good thing.
And then stop.
And then stop.
It's over.
That.
Yeah.
But who has not picked up the bass and played that line? The Only in Dreams line.
Yeah. And it's a memorable bass groove. It's not like advanced. It's not like crazy.
It just is what it is. Well, I'm going to, I actually, as we were
I just
talking,
want to, I just want to clarify. I do like that song.
You hate the song.
I just hate it. Yeah. I was concerned when I wrote that one down. I thought people are going to think I dislike this. I dislike the damn song.
For two people who really, I think, don't like to upset people. I don't like to upset people. I do not like confrontation.
Yeah.
I also know that I'm saying a lot of things that will upset a lot of people. And
that's kind of the hope. Hopefully this will just,
I'm so sorry,
burn a hole. Everybody will listen to it because they have to keep listening. He said Only in Dreams. Let's see what they say about the albums then.
There's nothing you could say to us as people to insult us that we haven't already thought about ourselves. I think that's the great thing about this.
Yeah, I take my own worst enemy to a whole other level.
Well, that's a good song. Okay. We'll have a lit episode, I'm sure. I changed my answer to this question. We will. Next episode is lit.
We're not. Yeah, it's going to be lit. not the band. It's just gonna be lit, man. We're gonna have fucking strobe lights and lasers in the background.
On the show notes, I had hash pipe is my most overrated, but I'm gonna change it because I think what you're saying here is a point. My most overrated Weezer song is Butterfly off of Pinkerton.
Interesting. I went outside with my mama's mason jar, caught a lovely
butterfly. The more I listen to that song, here's the thing, the difference. And I love Pinkerton, right? For so many ways, it's been so influential to me. I want to talk about that when we get to best album. But Butterfly, the more I listen to it, it's the only song on that record where the more I listen to it, the less I like it. I just don't think on that record, it's such a sonically amazing record. I love it for so much. And Butterfly is such a, if they stopped it with Falling For You with that close, oh, it'd be great. And I think the lyrics of Butterfly are, I mean, it's Cuomo at his most metaphorical, right? Which I appreciate. And it's the Captain Butterfly, right? That opera, the whole record's based around.
Isn't it Madama?
Madam Butterfly, right? And I mean, there's like that Asian fetish that Rivers Cuomo has that plays on top of it, which
yes, he does.
I actually, the fact that he in that record is so open about it, it's just part of what makes that record interesting to me. But that song, it's just such a wimpy close. And it's not every band should have an acoustic track.
I agree. The only issue I have with that, because I know you're not saying it's necessarily a bad song. Or are you saying
that? No, I'm not saying that. You're right. Okay. I'm not saying that.
But the only thing for me is that seems like one of the most emotional songs I can even think of by Weezer.
It is. And yet,
it's not necessarily. I can see exactly what you mean. For as sonically punching as that album is, that does seem kind of like a. What year did that album come out in?
Oh, Lord.
Because I think probably for the time frame, it may have been
96.
It probably wasn't necessarily a unique idea to go out with an acoustic song. It kind of seems like, just let's throw that in there. I wrote that during this time frame.
And for the record, because now people will go to like my Bandcamp, which is, by the way, ColtonSaylor.bandcamp.com.
All right, fine.
But you go to my, and I have an acoustic song on each of my records, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think... And even there, when I listen to some of those, I'm like, I could have done something else. I think what I dislike about the framing of that song is when it's acoustic, it's meant to feel more sincere and more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like it kind of, to me, goes against the ethos of that record. And that's the only reason that the more I listen to it, the more, I don't know, overrated. Well,
again, it's oddly enough, we both chose the album closers behind two great fucking albums.
Yeah, what is that?
And I think it might be that those two just can't stand by themselves.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
But Hashpipe was a good choice. Hashpipe was a good original choice.
Yeah. And by the way, the first Weezer song I ever heard.
Same here.
Yeah.
To be fair, we probably heard Weezer before that, but that was the first time I was aware of who I was listening to. Yeah. I think it was MTV.
Yeah, the Sumo music video.
Yeah, they put it on, but they're... Weezer's making a comeback. I'm like, who?
I had that same thought. I was like, comeback.
Yeah. How do you make a comeback? And that's the same. That's the same channel that gave what's the name of the band? I can't remember the name of the band. I can't believe it's escaping me. The ones who did Stacey's Mom.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, they gave them
Fountains of Wayne.
They gave them like Best New Artist Award at like the MTV Video Music Awards. They'd been around.
They've been around.
It's like giving Modest Mouse Best New Artist after they put out
Float On.
Yeah, Float On.
Oh, I love that record. R.I.P. Jeremiah Green, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was actually pretty fucking sad to hear
about. Pretty fucking sad. Yeah. We'll
get to Modest Mouse for sure.
Let's bring it up then with best album. I already said my piece. It's Pinkerton. Pinkerton is the best album, says Colton Saylor.
The best thing about this is your best album is Pinkerton.
Yeah.
Your most overrated song.
Yeah.
Is Butterfly.
Yeah.
My best album is the Blue Album. My most overrated song is Only in Dreams. Now, here's the thing. The reason it can't be Pinkerton for me, and I've told you this, Across the Sea is not that great a song for that album.
I disagree.
It's just not. It's not a bad song. It's not a bad song, but that's on a plate of fucking delicious food. That is like corn from a different plate accidentally falling on the damn.
I like corn. Roasted corn. Is it roasted corn we're talking about?
I thought
about?
You meant the band.
Oh.
I like Issues.
I love Issues.
We're gonna, this will probably happen. There's nothing wrong with referencing other artists within
you
this.
You could probably tell we're just literally listing bands so we can think of what we want to do next. But
to an extent, I don't want to do corn.
I want to do corn.
We might get there. Wait.
Can I tell a quick story?
We have to get past this episode.
I know, it's not good. My quick story is my grandmother, for I think it was Christmas, she got all of her grandsons, I think everyone, she got us albums. Mm-hmm. And she got me Black and Blue by the Backstreet Boys. She got me that record. Nice. And I remember I was so mortified. I was like, and I feel bad about it because the fact that she gave me a record is it's a really nice thing. Mm-hmm. But I remember at the time, I was like, no, I can't listen to Black and Blue. And by the way, now that I'm old enough, that wasn't even the best Backstreet Boys. Backstreet Boys
record. I would listen to that. I would listen to that.
Yeah. I mean, no, Blackstreet's good.
Yeah, I had nothing against the Backstreet Boys. I really didn't. And then I went through that phase when I was getting into the rock world. I have to pretend I hate the Backstreet Boys. I was like, you know, it's not that bad.
Black,
I went through
a blue stage.
No, it's stupid. It's, again, it's Weezer. There's certain Weezer albums that are very Backstreet Boys, or you know, not necessarily the same sound. And it's just like, I can see why this is dumb, but you know, they're making music. Fuck it.
But I turned that record in. My mom said it was okay. And I got Issues by Korn. And that was, I love that record for a lot of reasons, but it's such a great, I don't know, that memory. I just love Issues. Yeah, anywho.
We were the perfect age to enjoy it.
Best album. I have to say one quick thing about Pinkerton, because the reason it's my favorite album and the best album, it's not like groundbreaking it is. I think it's the thing about Weezer that I find so interesting is this. That record is Rivers Cuomo just open, right? And that record is him. He's a creep in that record, right? Yeah. And I know he like put out a message to his fans apologizing for it. And he horny.
Never stopped
it's a
after
horny
that.
Record. Yeah. Right? It's super weird. It's perverted. It's like, it's all these negative emotions. And the thing that, it was such a thing when I was growing up that kind of broke my mind was when bands like Brand New and when I was listening to Pinkerton, where the songwriters there weren't afraid to show how bad a flawed a person that they are. Mm-hmm. They weren't writing from this moralistic high ground.
Yeah.
And that was really a thing for me when I was trying to think of what I wanted to say and write about it's that kind of revelation. Right. And the best song in like Across the Sea, it's a creepy song, right?
Yeah.
But it's also like so much of that record to me is about yearning. It's about desire. It's about like, and also feeling ashamed for feeling desire. It's like these really complicated, mixed up things. And it's about sex, but in a way that's like honest, right?
Oh yeah. It's honesty, but his lyrics also weren't completely stupid, you know. I was talking about this actually with Robbie the other day, where it's just like he was able to get away with, like, you said you never heard of Green Day. How cool is that? It's a stupid lyric, but it works. It just has like a good vibe to it. It doesn't sound pretentious. It doesn't sound lazy.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's the thing that I don't think he lost. I think he purposefully, and this is the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Is the after effects of that record were so hard for Rivers Cuomo, he's embarrassed by the record, that he just turns that part of his songwriting life out. And I respect that is the thing. Is I think you and I have both had situations where we are so honest in what we've written in a song that it actually is something that makes us uncomfortable after.
Yeah.
I think we both had that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's difficult to do that. I think we talked about it a long time ago when we were first writing, where you wrote a song Lyrically, it's like, well, the person, if they hear it, they know damn well that's about them. How do you do that? And you're like, I don't know. You just do. Yeah. You know what? I guess that's kind of how it goes. You're either going to get the emotion out or you're not.
I want to tell this story, but I have to be really like, I'm just going to tell it in very broad basics where mm-hmm. I wrote a song that very much had to do with a certain situation. And I played a show where I think that person was in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I announced that I was going to play that song. And in the back of the crowd, I just heard, oh God.
And you should be very fucking proud of that. You should be very proud of that.
And that was alerting. I went, oh, this like isn't a nice thing to do. I'm not going to do it. And, but I that's the thing yeah. is like people, when they think about an artist being honest and call that bravery, it can be kind of like cynical, like, well, fuck that. What do you mean by that? But yeah. I get that. It's a brave record. And I get why he hasn't done it yeah. since then. But.
And that's why I kind of chose the Blue Album, just because it seems like they've never been that fresh ever again. Ever again. You know, it's even Pinkerton, I think there was elements of overthinking.
Yeah.
Whereas the Blue Album is just, we're going in there and we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate that, because you know me, I'm not going to necessarily dissect it lyrically. I didn't necessarily spend my days trying to understand what Rivers was saying, but just I tend to more dwell on how it sounds and what's coming through. And like, you can, you know, obviously certain lyrics are going to pop and they just kind of come through without you having to know what he said during the verse or whatever. What we were talking about with Say It Ain't So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a Say It Ain't So comes in and you're like, this is a great fucking song. All right, that's a great chorus. And that's what that album kind of fits into, this world where it's poppy, it's got this corniness to it, but there's also there's total honesty, I think, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just always came through. And we've listened to all their other albums, and not necessarily over the last month, we've listened to plenty of their albums before that.
Yeah.
And that's just, that one never got top to me. Pinkerton is right there. It's right there. But it's just, that just seemed almost like an obvious one to me. It was either going to be you say Blue Album and I say Pinkerton,
yeah,
or vice versa. That's just kind of, I don't think you can argue that there's any better albums by Weezer than those two.
And one thing I like to do while we were listening to these records, like I'm on YouTube, right? And I go mm-hmm. to the comments, and every comment I see for every song that comes after Blue Album is the same thing, which is, why does everybody think everything by Weezer needs to be the Blue Album? This song is great. And it's any song they've written since, right? There's a version mm-hmm. of that. And I understand, like, we both, I think, are fans of bands that other people would say, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get that. I think in my head, but it's the Blue Album. It's so good that it's, and these songs are like objectively not as good.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is if you tell me a song, fine. That's one song. Blue Album's an album of songs, you know? And it's like, yeah, I probably like that song more than Only in Dreams, but I don't care. Only in Dreams is part of this great, great full album, a great full experience.
And I will say that it's as a debut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times you listen to a band and like the early stuff, it's like kind of a proof of concept, right? But they mm-hmm. haven't grown into the record they're gonna make. Yeah. That is like the groundbreaking one. Yeah. And I will say that Blue Album as a debut, like in my head, of the records I am aware of, it's one of the best debut albums.
It's kind of unfortunate for them too. Imagine how much more appreciation we would have maybe for, say, the Red Album if the Blue Album came after.
Like, or if they opened with Van Weezer.
Yeah, with Van Weezer tour. It's like, look how much this band matured.
And that's what's crazy, is they are, it's a devolution. Devolution.
I like devolution.
Yeah.
It is a de-evolution.
Okay. We have two more categories left, people.
We'll try to speed through it a little bit.
Our favorite line.
Mm.
And then we have our worst or cringiest line or lyric.
Are those the two other categories?
These are the two. I have to say something that with favorite line, I don't have one.
No, me either. When I think you kind of dropped this in today. And I went, I don't know. Fine. You know, how cool is that? That's the That's best lyric they ever wrote.
Well, now, it's the whole ethos thread of Weezer is on the page. Every line looks like kind of dog shitty.
Yeah,
right. It doesn't sound great.
I can, you know, it's almost like I like on OK Human. I like Numbers. That one is not terrible lyrics to me. There's, but he addresses poetry in it. What is it, Tor? Are you looking at the lyrics right now?
I can look it up. On what song?
Numbers. Or it's something where you can't do poetry without a there's a clear indicator that there's really no great line by Weezer because I'm not able to remember it precisely.
There's always a number that'll make you feel bad about yourself. Oh, they say you're too short to join the team and your IQ is too low for poetry.
Yeah, it's I like that lyric because it's Rivers kind of acknowledging that he's trying to write poetry, but it's almost like he's addressing himself fully. Not that I've never bought that he's high IQ.
No,
that sounds really mean.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I don't like the nerdy. I mean, he programs. I know he programs. I can't do that. You know, but I don't necessarily think that I'm going to be, especially musically. I think based off of his influences, I think he's more mainstream. Like he won't be able to drop you as many really unknown artists.
And that's the thing about Rivers Cuomo that kind of drives me crazy is it's like, oh, he went to Harvard. And like every time of these newer records, he's like dropping these like, you know, real like Buddhist or hyper spiritual influences and like sacred texts that he's been into that he's trying to like build into the songs that he has. And I don't hear any of it. It's the thing I hate that songwriters do where they get kind of pseudo intellectual and they're like, oh, I've been inspired by like this crazy novel I read, Russian authors. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the song, you're like, there's nothing that dives back to that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't even think he's necessarily like a pseudo intellectual either. I think he tries. I think he absolutely puts himself out there to and attempts everything, but it's just, like you said, it doesn't really come through in the music. But Tor, I feel bad. I'm not trying to say he's a bad guy or any of that stuff. It's just when it comes to the public image and the public figure, like, yeah, I have critiques. I have things that kind of irk me a little bit.
I have already made a great error as our host of this podcast. I skipped a category.
I thought you might have.
I'm going to bring it around because we have cringiest lyric, and I think we can combine it with worst album.
There you go.
That's what we can end on. A nice negative note to there this. You go. And I'll start.
You know, I thought we were going to, did we ever even do like overrated album or underrated album? I don't think we could skip it. It's fine.
I don't think we have those categories.
I think I wrote it down. I'll just say underrated for me was White Album. I think that one actually came close to like, maybe they got it again, but and you don't agree. So there we go. We don't need to dive into it. That'll be for Weezer part two.
It has to be a Weezer part two. We'll listen to more of the new stuff.
Once we interview Rivers and he can just berate us for being Rivers, such assholes.
Come on
please,
the show.
Please. You don't have to. You don't have to come to our place. We'll Zoom.
We can Zoom. I think we could do that. My worst album. See, I have Ratitude, but it's Make Believe. I don't like Make Believe. And the lyrics on Make Believe, I can go ahead and say, are some of the ones I like the least.
Yeah.
And Make Believe is just such a bummer of a record. It's so uninteresting. And so it's so bland, everything. I think only Perfect Situation.
They go over all the spectrums of music. They dive into 80s synth pop. They dive into whatever the hell. What genre of music is Beverly Hills?
Oh, God.
Is that like really shitty industrial?
I don't even know what you would call it.
It seems like I feel like the drum. I don't know. If I advance in any further into that statement, I'm going to sound dumber than me stammering through the statement.
I think it's that every emotional note he tries to hit on that record is done in the most obvious caveman-esque way, that where it's like, what are you even getting out of listening to this? Like, pardon me, right?
Yeah.
When I listen to that song, him. Like, how I say I'm sorry? I'm sorry. Like, he says it and like, pardon me. Hey, pardon me. I don't know. It's like trying to be just out front and direct and honest, and yet it's so phony, and as a song, not fun to listen to.
I feel that you might have a different opinion on that based off of what we said earlier. If just the production quality went down a couple of notches, like, you don't need it to sound so clean, especially with with that stupid of lyrics, with that like kind of corny of a concept, like, be human about it. Don't try to make it this big production, but Rivers is going to go for that because based off of his musical taste, it seemed, and it's fucked up that I say Rivers because I feel like we're dismissing the rest of the band.
Yeah.
But when I think of Weezer, I don't think of collaboration amongst the four of them.
I mean, for sure. Like, you know, the Red Album, I think, is the one people always mention where it's mm-hmm. the most kind of cohesive.
But it still seems like he said, you can be on this track. You know?
I think we can be forgiven for putting, because like, even in later records where he gets other songwriters to come in.
Yeah.
I think it's a Rivers Cuomo kind of deal.
I think it is. And if I'm wrong, fuck it, I'm wrong. It's just kind of what the public persona that I get, the vibe that I get from it.
What is your worst album, Rob?
You kind of alluded to it as well, and it's my honorable mention. It's Ratitude. It's not my worst, but that was close. But mm-hmm. I do like, if you're wondering, whatever, the opening song. I do like that song, especially the one he did with, what is it, Sarah Aurora Borealis? I can't remember. I can't say her last name. I always forget it. But I like when they did that song with her. That is about as fun a performance, I think, as Weezer's ever had. Mm-hmm. I've watched plenty of Weezer live performances, and there are times where it looks like Rivers, especially in the early days, looks terrified.
Yeah.
I'm going off on a tangent there. But I like that song, so that's all good. Everything Will Be All Right in the End is not a good album. That is just not a good album.
I agree.
And I think I may be even more stubborn on it because it was supposed to be their comeback.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was hoping that we were going to go, because I felt like the White Album was more of their attempt at a comeback to sounding like Weezer than Everything Will Be All Right in the End, because it really does just as the first song, you know, he apologizes. What is it? Like Back in the Shack, whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
And just that song isn't Weezer coming back anyway.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's my worst lyric, by the way, is the opening to Back to the Shack. Sorry guys, I didn't realize that I needed you so much. I thought I'd get a new audience. Forgot that disco sucks.
And I don't even know what's the disco song he had.
You know? I think he's talking about the party, Can't Stop Partying with Lil Wayne.
Ah, well,
I think. But
at that point, if you got a featured artist on it, then whatever. It's not like, you can goof around at that point. It'd be cool if, you know, most of their music would probably be better if they had a guest appearance from somebody who at least fits into this weird genre that they're trying to go into.
Yeah, it's and it's just so cowardly. I think that when I heard that song, I was like, if I was like a Dyed in the Wool Weezer fan, I'd be offended by that lyric. Cause like, there are probably fans who are like, oh, I like that record. They're like, sorry, guys.
Yeah. He tried. I think his heart, I do think Rivers' heart is always in the right place. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. But, that doesn't mean that his skills are, or, you know, his expression of talent is. Like, he's trying to follow his heart, but maybe sometimes have somebody there to tell you otherwise.
I changed my answer. You're correct. It is Everything Is All Right. We'll Be All Right in the End. Eh. That is the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Rob.
That's the one. Poor guys.
Should we do our closing? Do we have a 1 to 10 scale of the body of work? Is that?
It's a difficult one. To try to narrow it down, I think it just has to be in our own opinion and based off of our own little circumstances. I'm afraid as to who should give their 1 to 10 first.
I think there's only one real rating for Weezer. If you're going to rate, and that's an impossible job, right?
Mm-hmm.
To rate all their discography, The only one that makes sense to me is a 5 out of 10.
I hear you. And this is where I'm going to fit into the, there's no right or wrong answer here. There's just a poorly expressed opinion.
Yeah. Except
I'm going 5 out of 10. I'm going to go with body of work. Oh God. You're probably right with the 5 out of 10, but I'll go to six. I'm going to 6 out of 10.
That's fair. Right. Now I'm the negative Nancy.
And I told you before that I'm going to be the Weezer apologist on this. I
like Weezer. Like that's the thing.
I still have to try to viewpoint it from what I see within Rivers. I don't know the guy. But he seems insecure. He seems like there are times where he tries to fight that so much that somebody should have said, no, embrace your insecurity on this song. Embrace how insecure you are about this song. Don't try to fight it because nobody needs to hear this one. The British are coming. Didn't have to happen, man.
I think that's a perfect way. When it comes to that. That's a perfect way to end our discussion. So here we are at the end of our first discussion. I want to thank Weezer for being such good sports and never listening to any of what we just said.
They're really stand-up guys.
My name again is Colton, and who are you?
I am Robert, or Rob to most people, but Rob, I tend to go. Yeah, two Bs.
Two Bs,
guys. Yeah, I thought it was a good conversation. And again, anybody who, if you disagree with us, obviously.
I hope you had fun like we had fun. Rob, I had so much fun talking to you.
Yeah, we're not sure if this is going to be weekly or bi-weekly, but probably bi-weekly. But if you enjoyed it, please tune in for the next episode. Yeah.
We will put our email in the episode description for you guys to get to us. Tell us what things, if you have an artist you'd like for us to talk about.
It is no.your.rights.podcast@gmail.com.
And rights is spelled W-R-I-T-E-S.
That's right. And
that's the pun.
Yeah, well, just... I hope this was a good example of what the hell you're going to have to listen to.
I have a catchphrase for us. I actually don't. I'm going to come up with one right now.
I was trying to think of one myself.
And that's, when all else fails, right on, people. Right on.
Yeah. When you're trying to give an opinion, know your rights.
Hey, that's better.
We go. We'll have something a little more geeked out. This was a pilot.
Take care of yourselves, everybody.